Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you are a God who speaks. I thank you that you are a God who relates to us, Lord, in many ways. And we just thank you for the life that we enjoy with you, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for the things that you've laid on Dave's heart this morning, Lord. We want to hear what it is you have to say to us. Father, I just pray that you would fill Dave with your spirit. Lord, as he's prepared and put things together, I just pray that you would highlight and emphasize what it is that you want to say to us this morning, Lord. And give us ears that hear, Lord. Give us hearts that respond. Father, we want to step into the life that you have for us. We want to experience and just respond to you, Father. And just pray that you'd speak to us, Lord, and give us hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Beautiful Vancouver weather day. In your bulletins is an insert for next Sunday. Just read this later, but just want to mention that one of the Missions Fest presenters, Jamie McIntosh, will be speaking at our church on Sunday morning. He's involved with the International Justice Mission, which works in 14 different countries rescuing people who are in slavery and helping them to get free from various types of slavery that they're in. So he'll be speaking with us here next Sunday, and hope you can come and hear him. Had a good time at a high school camp this past week. 33 of our young people, students at the school, Mr. Ferguson, myself, Mr. and Mrs. Whitley, Charlie and Judy, and Julie Shetler was there. Anybody else? And then we had these great speakers come, like Lee and Jennifer Bamberry. And Lee and Jennifer Bamberry did a fabulous job, didn't they, everybody? Students? Claire, were they any good? All right, they did a good job. They spoke about their marriage before Christ and after Christ, and the transformation that God does in our lives to enable us to relate to each other. And then we had some RCMP officer come and talk to us. And what do you think? Was he all right too, Hamilton? He was good? Mike Pedrosa sitting back here. And Mike did a great job speaking to us about what we fill our minds with. Do we fill our minds with the world's garbage, or we fill our minds with good stuff? And having a strong and courageous heart. And before that, the night before, we had four people from Teen Challenge, two men and two women, who came and shared how God set them free from their addictions and transformed their lives. So we've had a good camp, a few dog sled races that were exciting, and snowshoeing on Grouse Mountain, and it was a nice time together. This morning I want to speak, you can put a title on your notes, and then you can write down maybe two or three sentences, and the rest of it you should just sit back and see what the Lord says to your heart. Sometimes we take too many notes, you know? So today I'm going to give you 2 points. Under the title of The Kingdom Grows as We Hear Where to Harvest. The Kingdom of God grows as we hear where it is that we harvest. We've been speaking about the Kingdom of God for some time. The growing kingdom, the fruitful kingdom, the seeds of the kingdom, God planting us as seeds, us planting God's seeds. And we want to see the harvest. We want to see God's fruitfulness in our lives. A number of weeks back, I remember when maybe 90% of us stood and said, Lord, I surrender to you. Whatever you have, I surrender. I'm here for you. God saw that. 3 weeks ago, we spoke about Jesus, who said that unless a kernel of wheat dies and is sown, it can't produce more. But if it dies and if it is sown, it produces a harvest. And we said, Lord, take me. Use my life. Let me sow into your harvest. And when we sow ourselves, we provide. We become something that we weren't before. the little seed that we were dies, so to speak, but it also puts down roots and blossoms and produces fruit. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus said, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be." And so we ask, where is Jesus? Where I am, there my servant also will be. Where is Jesus today? Where will He lead us? Where will we find ourselves following Him to? There we will sow. There we will die. There we will increase many times over. Where? If we're to be fruitful, if we're to be sowing in the harvest, we need to know where He is, that we can also be with Him. If we're to be fruitful, we must also see as Jesus sees. What does it mean to hear where the harvest is? What is needed in order for us to understand where His harvest is? Two things. First, we need to know His purpose. We need to know His purpose for us in His body. Nowhere in Scripture do we find this mentality that each one of us does everything alone. We're always a part of the body working out God's harvest. We're always just one part of the puzzle. Some is given a gift of teaching. Some is given a gift of serving. Some is given leadership. Some is given administration. Some is given giving. But to each of us, God gives us a part to play. And then He binds us together with other people. And Ephesians 4 tells us that the body grows as each person does its work, building up the body, expanding the kingdom of God as we grow up into Christ, who is the head. It's never about what you and I alone have a responsibility on our shoulders that's heavy, that we have to do it all. We heard several times during the worship service this morning about the rest of God, about what He has done, about resting in His presence, resting in Jesus. We heard across the road in the prayer meeting about being like a child who comes with faith to just be with Jesus as children come to Him. But the first thing in order for us to know where the harvest is to understand His purpose. His purpose for me, His purpose for you in the body. And for that purpose, I want us to draw from John chapter 17 and John chapter 20. Christ not only saved us, but He sent us. What is His purpose? Sent. Not only saved, but sent. We have to understand that Christ has a purpose for redeeming us. And His purpose is to send us. We are not merely redeemed to be wallflowers to adorn Him. We're not redeemed just to be offering polite golfer applause. Right? No. So much more. We're not just redeemed to sit there and wait out of boredom until someday, "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away." Actually, that's a beautiful song. It's a lovely song. Don't ruin it. But it's not a song about just waiting in boredom. It's a time to be doing. It's a time to be sent. It's a time of purpose. It's a time of God's calling in our life. He didn't redeem us to wait. He didn't redeem us to be a wallflower. He didn't redeem us just to stand and praise Him once in a while in a half-hearted manner. He redeemed us to be sent. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 13. Jesus is praying. First, He prays for Himself about glory, about God's glorious plan for Himself. And then He prays for His disciples. And then he prays for his disciples' protection because he is about to leave them and return to the Father. And the disciples, they're not of the world, but they're still in this world. And so he prays for our protection. And in chapter 17, we then read these words, starting in verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Then he prays for us this, verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too might be truly sanctified. Followers of Jesus are sent in like manner that he was sent. What an incredible verse 18 is. As you sent me, I have sent them. How was Jesus sent? Study, think about, dwell upon. How was Jesus sent? How did the Father send him here? For what purpose was he sent? For the same reason, for the same purpose. He has chosen you and I. Not to just wait, not to just praise, not to just watch, but he sent us for purpose. Why was Jesus sent? God so loved our world. God so loved enemy territory that he sent his only Son. Why was he sent? Because he loved us. Because he wanted to redeem us from all that Satan had marred in his kingdom. As he was sent, so we are sent. As he sanctifies himself, what's that mean? As he sets himself apart for God's purpose, as he is consecrated unto God, so will his followers be set aside for God's purpose, be consecrated unto his service. In the same manner that Jesus has set himself aside for the sole purpose of saving us, so will his followers be set aside. George Beasley Murray says it this way: the consecration of Jesus and that of his disciples, his dedication unto death is made in order that they too might be dedicated to the same task of bringing the saving sovereignty to the world in like spirit as he has brought it. His disciples can and must serve as its instruments and embodiment as they proclaim the good news to the world. This they will best do as they exemplify the suffering love of the Redeemer. The love of Jesus suffered much for our sakes. He gave himself. He denied himself for our sakes. In like manner, so send I you, is what Jesus is saying. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. If we are to be fruitful, we must understand his purpose. We must understand that his purpose is not just for us to watch, to wait, to praise, but to be sent. Jesus is not only our Savior, he's the captain of the army. He's the Lord of hosts. John chapter 20, after the resurrection. John 17 was before the crucifixion. John chapter 20, after the resurrection. Jesus appears to his disciples again, and he comes speaking to them in verse 19 on the evening of that first day of the week. When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, peace be with you. Verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We're not saved to wait. We're chosen to do. We're not saved to wait. We're chosen to do. Something's wrong. We're also somber. I'm trying to figure this out. Your faces are so serious. I guess it is a serious matter, but it's also a joyful matter. It's a purposeful matter. It's a life has meaning matter. It's a no matter what part of the body I play, it matters. Whether I'm the administration person, or whether I'm the gifts and signs and wonders person, it matters. A cup of cold water mattered to Jesus. The little children coming to him mattered to Jesus. James said true religion, to look after the widow and the orphan in their time of need, mattered to Jesus. We all have a grand part to play in the body of Christ. We are not chosen. We are not saved to wait. We're chosen to do. Too often we treat ourselves like truck drivers, delivering pure, untouched grain to the master. That's not his purpose. In fact, he told a parable about the guy who was afraid and buried what his talents were in a hole and brought it back on the last day and said, "Here, I've kept it safe just for you." And the master rose up in anger and said, "What have you done that for? Take it away and give it to the guy who made use of it." But so many times we treat ourselves like a truck driver, just being entrusted with the wonderful things of God and keeping them safe and pure until that day when I meet him again. We're not just delivering seeds. We're not just transporting seeds back and forth. We're farmers in the field. Our job is not to save it pure, holy, untouched, untainted, unmarred. No, our job is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to be disfigured beyond recognition, to sow until we have no more to give, to die, and to be transformed and bear fruit. We're farmers in the field. We're tenders of the vineyard. We're not truck drivers. Secondly, if we're to see fruit, we must see people through the Spirit of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to come and so fill us that when we gaze upon people, we see His potential in their lives. We see His purpose in His creation. We see the enemy's bondage that He wants to take off and free the individual. We need God's help if we're to be fruitful, to see where the harvest is, to hear what field we're to be working in. Because Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. But I know that I am so prone to be like the Pharisees. I see the Pharisees in me. The Pharisees, they saw purity and holiness. But at the same time, what they saw as purity and holiness, Jesus saw as duty that avoided changing your heart. Rules kept and ticked off while absolving oneself of change of heart needed. Pharisees saw righteous judgment upon that adulterous woman, cleansing of their race. Jesus saw hypocritical stone throwers. Said, "If you're without sin, go ahead, kill her." The Pharisees saw blemish-free purity. They saw the best for our God. And Jesus called it a den of robbers in the house of prayer. How could they misunderstand so much? They were doing everything for God. And yet they missed it so many times. The Pharisees saw a sinful woman falling all over Jesus. Jesus saw a forgiven woman full of gratitude and thanksgiving. How often I misread situations like the Pharisees. I see delinquent youth. He sees future leaders. I see flaky New Agers. He sees seekers of truth, longers of wisdom. How prone I am to be like the disciples. The disciples who saw the bothersome children taking up their leader's time. Jesus, who saw children's faith and said, that belongs in the kingdom to such as theirs. The disciples who saw the Samaritan prejudice rejecting Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And they asked if they might call down fire from heaven to destroy these scoundrels. Jesus patiently just went on to the next village where they would receive him. There is one day we read about in John chapter 4. Jesus and his disciples were out. They came to a well. Jesus sat down and stopped. The disciples went into town to get some food. While he went into town, Jesus struck up a conversation with a woman who was drawing water that day. She was one of those sinful women, a Samaritan woman, currently unmarried, shacking up with her sixth man after five failed marriages. Just then, his disciples returned. They were surprised to see him talking with the woman. We're so like the disciples. Rabbi, his disciples urged him, eat something. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. His disciples said, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will and the work of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? This is the story. It was the woman at the well, the sinful woman with five failed marriages, shacking up with her sixth man story. This is the time when Jesus said to his small church of 12, guys, don't you say it's 4 more months in the harvest? I tell you, he says, forget all that stuff. Look, the fields are white in the harvest. Where? Samaria, that town that rejected us, that you wanted to burn up a few weeks ago, calling down fire from heaven upon these guys. Samaria, that town of half-breeds, all mixed races. The heathens who intermarried with our people and led them astray. Don't you see? There's a harvest, says Jesus. The fields are white unto harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper might be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Then we pick up the story again. The woman has run to the village to tell everybody about, I think I found the Messiah. He told me everything I've ever done. He knew me inside and out. Come and meet this guy. And the village shows up to meet Jesus that day. And many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything that I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. One day by a well, that the sinful woman, Jesus told his disciples, there's the field. Not back in that pure temple. There's the field. Watch, here comes a crowd from Samaria. And they believed because a messed up woman told them. And they believed because he stayed with them for two more days and spoke to them about the kingdom. There's the harvest. Where's the harvest? In Vancouver? Where's the harvest in our neighborhood? Where's the harvest in our life? Who are you touching? Where's the harvest? Where Jesus is. Ask him. Let him take you there. Like going to Samaria, last night I went for a prayer walk. And I went beyond Nanaimo Street. A full 9 blocks from our dear little school on Renfrew Street. A full 9 blocks beyond Renfrew Street. Across Nanaimo Street. Outside of those wonderful places of Cambridge and Eaton Street and Oxford Street and Trinity Street. The safe neighborhoods on this side of Nanaimo. I went on a prayer walk. I was urged to go that direction. And I followed the Spirit. And as I walked along, I think it was Pandora Street, a taxi stopped. And out got a mother and her 2 children. And the trunk of the taxi went up, and it was full of groceries. And they started to unload. And I thought, oh, I can't imagine doing grocery shopping with a taxi. My life is so easy. I don't even do it. My wife does it. Life is so easy. Me in Superstore takes 3 times as long. No matter what the list says or what order it's in, it's not on the shelf. You have to go ask that guy cutting boxes with his headphones in. You know, you got to go ask him where stuff is. And the taxi driver watched. And the mother unloaded. And the 5 or 6 year old kid that was there, little girl, so cute. No, mommy, I want to go home. Take this stuff. You got to learn to work for your living. And a 5 or 6 year old kid is loaded down with groceries at 11 o'clock at night. And my heart broke. I mean, something hit me. I just said, God, what kind of a world do I live in? That little kids are out at this time of night. And mom takes her load to the sidewalk a few times. And then she goes in. And a little girl takes her 2 bags in. And then I watched as she made 2 more trips back out to this dark street by herself. The dogs were going crazy. She was running back and forth. And my heart said, God, why is it that my broken world is like this? That little girl should have been in bed 3 hours ago. But I walked on. And I came up to Semlin and Triumph, the grand headquarters of the Maritime Labor Union Office, the Longshoreman Office. And outside was a crowd of 30 young men swaggering and jostling, and it just felt dangerous. It just felt dangerous. They all had on their tight t-shirts and they were cool. But this lineup at the door was just jostling in with this lust-filled jostling. Something was wrong place. 1 or 2 girls were there as well. And then I noticed the scantily clad dance group had just shown up and were entering with what little they were wearing. As this lust-filled mob was going to their show, my heart said, we've got a broken world. So I walked a few more blocks. And a sweet little girl named Katie said, "You need some company, sir?" I said, "No, I'm just preaching tomorrow. I'm out praying about it. Can I pray for you?" "Yeah, that'd be good." So I prayed for Katie. And I walked around the block. Just one more circle to see if what I thought at the Union Place was really true. The mob was still there. Coming down the street were married couples in their 40s, 50s. The women were kind of embarrassedly following along. I decided to walk through the crowd this time. As I walked through the crowd, a young couple walked up, maybe 23, 24 years old. The guy was swaggering up to his buddies, and his babe was just a safe distance beyond, close enough to say, "Yes, I'm still with you," but just a little bit out of reach. My sincere eyes looked her right in the eye, and her eyes were empty. She looked back at me. She was on guard. She was suspecting. She had to be alone. But her man was out with the boys to have their fun. And she was tagging along. Somewhere, that's our city, 9 blocks from our school. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, asked his disciples, "Why is your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick." I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinners. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Somewhere in this midst, I don't know what God's doing, but God keeps taking my heart in that area. We have a broken city, and those are the ones that He came to heal. Those are the ones He came to save. That's where the harvest is. If we're going to see the harvest, we need to understand He has a purpose for each of us. He has a part for us to play. The gifts He's put in you, you're sent. You're not to just watch and wait. You have a calling. He created you, Mark, for purpose. He's sending you. We have a broken city. If we're going to see a harvest, we need to see people the way Jesus does. Jesus looked out over the crowds, and He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. That's what He saw last night. Sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. Wednesday night, we'll gather here for prayer about the harvest. And we'll pray for our city. And we'll just keep following. I want to encourage each of you. God has a perfect plan for your life. God has a perfect reason why He made you different than the person beside you. And His plans will only succeed to the extent that each of us do the work that He's called us to. May God use all of us in His harvest.